And it wasn't a cheap thing. July 4, 1776, the Second Constitutional Congress adopted the Declaration of Independence. Now, I don't know how many of you have read it or could declare this morning what's in it, but I like to read it. And I read it again several times this past week. And it's kind of boring in some ways, because basically what it is a statement for the case of the independence of the colonies. And it doesn't speak very highly of Great Britain and her king. Almost in its entirety, the Declaration of Independence is case after case after case as to why the colonies believed they needed to separate themselves from the British Empire. And as many of you know, those who signed that declaration paid a terrible price. Many of them went bankrupt. They lost everything they had. Many people, because of the Revolutionary War with Great Britain, lost sons. And so even though the colonies declared their freedom, they were not yet free. And it took quite a while. I've asked Tommy to read this morning. Would you read just one statement from that Declaration of Independence that we're all familiar with?
Okay. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they have the endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness.
So the founding fathers, all but two, were Christians, various denominations, but were all Christians. And the two who weren't recommended very highly Christianity as the foundation for the governing of this nation. So they proceeded to the Revolutionary War. The Declaration of Independence starts with the statement that a fact that you just heard that the leaders agreed upon, and it was the foundation of America. 16 years later came the Bill of Rights, 1791. That also has some important, very important statements in it. And one Tommy's going to read, this is one that you're very familiar with, but it came 16 years later.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a readiness of grievances. Readiness of grievances.
Thank you. So the Bill of Rights we often talk about, sometimes get it confused with Declaration of Independence, but they're two very separate documents created for two very separate reasons. Again, the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776, declared our independence from Britain. the Revolutionary War followed. The Bill of Rights was really authored to be the governance, the document that would provide the legal standing for the citizens as we operate under the laws of our land. So, I don't know if there's anyone here who's not a citizen of the United States, but if you are, you are free. You are free. But your freedom was purchased with a great cost. Men signed the Declaration of Independence with ink, but it was sealed with the blood of thousands upon thousands of people in the wars that have followed. And that's why when I think of the 4th of July, it has a very special meaning to me. And I hope it does to you. The country was born on principles, Christian principles, that the leaders founded and believed that as long as we followed those principles, this nation would be blessed. And it was blessed tremendously, wasn't it? Through the Civil War, I started with the Revolutionary War, through all the wars that followed, tremendously blessed. War's a terrible thing. There's a terrible price to pay for freedom. It wasn't until 1947 that the statement that Tommy just read, where the state could not do anything to interfere with the church in the United States, that war between the state and the church began to happen. And as many of you know who have followed the news, that war continues today. And I believe it will continue the rest of our lifetimes and the lifetime of this nation. Because there are people in this country who no longer have the Christian foundation that the forefathers had. And as long as we have those kind of politicians, there is going to be war in this nation. And hopefully it will not be a war of arms. But it is a war of politics, and it will probably continue to be all of our lives. But it's very important that we all understand and we teach our children that the freedom that we have in the United States is freedom to obey the laws of the land. Okay? We're free to obey the laws. That's what we're free to do. And we get freedom from the laws. Now, sometimes they're frustrating, aren't they? Sometimes our laws really restrict what we would like to do, like going 65 or 55 or 25 miles an hour when you'd like to go 50. But if you violate that law, you're likely to meet Gary Bob's friend or my son who works in the jail. Because freedom allows us to be free, but we are free to obey the laws. And if we violate the laws, then there's a price to pay. That's the way freedom works. Freedom is never free. Freedom with restrictions. Your life as a Christian. And I don't care this morning if you're Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic, Baptist, whatever you are. If you follow Jesus Christ and you worship Him as your Lord and Savior, you are set free. Listen to this passage.
And the Lord God commanded the man, You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.
Interesting, from creation, you are free to eat from any of the trees in the garden, except for one. And if you do, there's a price to pay. We're free to obey. God said, enjoy the fruit of obedience. You see, if we read earlier, we see that even enjoy that little guy a little bit. Can you imagine, as God created Adam and Eve, can you imagine people not knowing the difference between good and evil? Because there was no such thing. That's the way Adam and Eve were created. There was no good and evil. They were naked and they didn't know it. It didn't mean anything. Their nakedness didn't mean anything. But when they ate of the apple, whatever it was they ate, when they ate of that fruit of that tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, Scripture says their eyes were opened. Then they could see the difference between good and evil. Before that, they couldn't see it. But there was a consequence with disobedience. And the consequence was that Adam and Eve and all of us would die. But it's important for us to understand that initially, God's intent was for us to be like Him and have no knowledge of good or evil. That's what being created in the image of God really means. It's similar, and I don't want to overblow this, but it's similar to the dream that our founding fathers had in this country. They had a dream. I wonder how they would feel if they were here watching the country that they founded in 1776 operate in 2023. How do you think they'd feel about it? What do you think they would feel about their dream? How'd we do? How are we doing? When God looks at us, how do you think He feels that we're doing, created in His image to do His will, to obey His word? Read the next passage, Tommy.
Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Again, it doesn't matter this morning if you're Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, whatever. You believe in the Trinity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We know God created man in His own image. And we know what He gave man. Freedom. And we know why Jesus came. Who was God on earth, and He died on the cross for our sins, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We needed a Savior, and Jesus died to set us free. Then He said to His disciples before He left, He says, this is my own interpretation, I can't be everywhere at once. So I'm sending the Holy Spirit to live in your hearts when you invite him in to be your Lord and Savior, so he can be everywhere on earth. So that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If the Lord has set you free, if you're a child of God, you're his son, you're his daughter, you are free. What are you free to do? You're free to obey. And you see, in obedience is a beautiful thing. As a teenager, I didn't realize that. I didn't want to obey. I wanted to be a law to myself, right? Guess where that originated from? Not the heart of God, the heart of Satan. God has given us the Spirit to set us free. The Apostle Paul gives us more insight into that from 1 Corinthians 6. Got to have Tommy awake here.
I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything.
Paul looks at himself. He realizes he is free. He says, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. We know that, don't we? The older I get, the more I realize that, you know, you can have a glass of wine, you can have a beer, you can have a pork roast, you can go boating, you can go fishing, you can go traveling, you can have money, you can have cars, you can have homes, you can have all of these things. They can be beautiful things. But I can tell you something about owning a home. I can remember when we moved into our home, it was pretty meager, but we moved in and we were so happy to be in. We had no debt. We built it ourselves. I was pretty proud, and I know Mary was pretty proud. And we had little kids. Then we had to put on an addition because we had more kids. And then Mary started building rock walls. Pretty soon, I began to realize something. At first, I owned the home. Then I realized that the home owned me. Huh? How many of you feel that way? That can happen with anything, can it? It can happen with wine. It can happen with beer. I can attest it can happen with Seagram 7. It can happen with horses. Yes, God knows horses. You know, I tell the old story of my old pastor who said to me, as a teenager, he said, you know, there's garbage cans all along the way. You can spend your life sticking your head into every garbage can to make sure it stinks. Or you can be wise enough to realize you don't have to keep sticking your head into all the garbage cans because they all stink. That's part of maturity. So the Apostle Paul says, I can do anything that I want to do, but I have to be careful, because if I'm not careful, my freedom can reap what is not beneficial to me or to others if I overdo in any area. That's tricky, isn't it? That's tricky. All of you probably know, some of us have family members who are now members at Harbor Hall because alcohol They enjoyed the first one, and then from then on, it enjoyed them. It mastered them. That's not only true with alcohol. It's true in many areas of our lives. Galatians 5 gives us another perspective on freedom.
You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself.
Interesting how the Apostle Paul intertwines and interweaves freedom with the law. Why is that true? Because freedom, all freedom that we have, whether it's domestic freedom here on earth or spiritual freedom, there are laws that go with it. If we obey that laws, we will continue to be free. If we violate those laws, whether they're spiritual laws or physical laws, we can become incarcerated. How many of you know you can become incarcerated in worry? See, concern is good to a degree. But if it turns a corner into obsession and continued worry and fear, it can incarcerate you. How many of you ever had a panic attack or been with somebody who's had a panic attack? It's a horrible thing. It's hard to get out of it. Many things. You have known people, and I have known people, who have turned their lives over to grudges and hatred. People who are just so full of hate. That's all it incarcerates them. That's the story of sin. Turning a simple freedom into something that can become overdone and something that can be destructive in all of our lives. Galatians 5:1 says this:
it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery.
Isn't that neat? The Apostle Paul here is in his later years of life, and he's looking at himself. We don't have time to go into a history lesson of who the Apostle Paul was, but the Apostle Paul had a pretty rough start to his Christian life, didn't he? God really worked him over to get him to the place where he would be usable to God and to the kingdom. He simply states, it's almost like a declaration, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. You know, theologians, many of them write this, that this statement of Christ setting us free got back to the original dream that God had in the Garden of Eden. That's really what the Apostle Paul is saying here, that he wants you as his children to be as close as you can be to Adam and Eve. He paid the price to set you free. Don't take that lightly. Stand firm. Don't let yourselves again be burdened by the yoke of slavery. It's a scary thing, isn't it, in our country right now. What we're seeing, people who have no idea how to manage money, in leadership in our country who think that they can simply print more money to pay bills. And I shared with you before, right now, every one of you individually, if you could pay $94,000, that's how much you owe. That's how much you owe. The problem is, even if we paid it, they'd continue right on printing it. Why? Because leaders in our country have lost that vision that our founding fathers have, and they don't understand that their freedom has laws and prices to pay. And many of these politicians have become laws unto themselves. They make the laws. If they don't like the laws that are there, they'll write new ones. I'm not a politician, nor do I have any leading to be a politician. All I'm saying is that whether it's in the Christian world or in the earthly world, there are principles that apply, and if you violate those principles, there's a price to pay. It may not be a price tomorrow. It may not be a price next year. But eventually, you'll pay the price. And that's true. Some people, some Christians say, well, I don't really hate that person. I just kind of dislike them, you know. I just don't really want to be around that person. I know they say they're a Christian, but I don't like that person. How many of you know that dislike can turn into hate really easy? And not only that, that one person who you don't like, it's easy for him to have company, and pretty soon there's two people you really don't like. What happens if we say, wonder how God feels about that person that you don't like? Did he die on the cross for that person like he did for you? You know the answer to that. As we look at who God has created us to be, particularly on this 4th of July, it should humble us. This last passage from Romans 6. Did we read that already?
But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life.
Interesting, isn't it? Now that you've been set free from sin, so you're no longer a slave to sin, but you're a slave to somebody, aren't you? You're a slave to God. If you allow him to be your Lord and be your Savior. That's the story of Christianity. Again, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what color a coat you wear. Doesn't matter if you're Baptist, if you're Pentecostal, Lutheran, Catholic, whatever you are. This is the same. These are the fundamentals. God created you with a dream and with a passion, and we screwed it up, right? Adam and Eve was us. God came back with a beautiful story of Jesus dying on the cross to save us from our sins eternally. Eternally. Not the sin that I just committed when I was a teenager. Not the sin that I just committed yesterday, but the sin that I will commit tomorrow and the rest of my life. He died on the cross for that. And as we call upon him to be our Lord and Savior, he gives us the freedom to make that choice. And we're able, because of the choice he gives to us, to live with him in eternity. Folks, on this 4th of July, there is no greater freedom ever known to man than the freedom that God makes available to you through Jesus Christ, his Son, and then giving you the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural act. It's a sacrament of God that the Holy Spirit comes to live in you and make you that new person in the image of Christ. If you've never done that, you're never too young to do it. Make that commitment. Turn your life over to him. Be set free. God bless you. Father, we give you praise. We thank you, God. We often complain about the country that we live in and politicians and how we've failed, but God, we're so very thankful for the freedom that we do have, and we cherish that freedom as a country. And we thank you, God, for those who were willing to even lay down their lives physically that we could be free as a nation. God, help us. Help our country. Help our leaders that their eyes can be open to see you and to see that freedom is based on a law that you instituted. It's not of man. And if we violate it, there's a price to pay. But God, thank you for that invitation that you give to us, that if we invite you to be our Lord and Savior, you come into us, you live in us, you send your Holy Spirit to guide us and protect us. And we give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.